You're listening to the Overdrive Podcast, Hour 1.
All right, big afternoon. Lots of stuff going on this afternoon.
Big afternoon. Big more sunshine. I was like, wow, I'm not in Iceland anymore.
Beautiful weather.
Now, then it just started raining in the afternoon.
I actually got out for a walk this morning. Do you guys have you're a relationship guy with different people within society? Like, you're a mailman, you're on a first name basis.
Yeah.
I would assume you walk into a bank and people are like, hey, Jamie, and you have a conversation.
I do have a banker, yes, and I spoke to her this morning, Catherine. But
right, but when you walk into your branch, are you on a first name basis?
I just moved out to Kleinberg, so I'm starting to get there. Yes, I'm starting to get there.
Have been for 25 years.
So you walk in and it's like, hi, Jeff, and you.
Yeah, I have the same ladies at the bank for 20 years.
Really?
Yeah.
Okay, so I've never had that experience. I'm just,
Who
I don't
do
really
deal
care.
Deal with at the bank?
I just do my own thing,
just
man.
Just go on the pigeon row and wait in line and do all that stuff?
Yeah, basically, if I have to. That's or ATM. Good. Like, I'm not incorporated or anything.
So you're
the
goon in front of the line that has to lick the envelope and put
pays
the thing
like
in.
He pays electric utilities with, like, the actual payment and a check and gives it to the teller.
Dude, we're online for everything.
That's good.
Everything's online.
The only people that, and it's because that generation. Like, I went into the bank the other day to do some business, and there was an elderly lady that was doing exactly
that. She was banking.
She
was paying
bills. Darlene McLennan pays her bills at the bank.
I saw that today. There was a woman there, and she had all these bills, and she had all these papers and, like, cash that she wanted converted.
Exactly, pulling it out of the purse.
No, man, I don't do that stuff. Everything's online. Everything's automatic billing. But occasionally I have to cash a check.
Yeah.
Because I got my check from Vegas. I got my check from the MGM today.
Oh, nice.
So I took the newborn for a walk.
Mm-hmm.
How's that little girl doing, by the way?
Very well, actually. And she enjoys a walk, and she enjoys cashing checks from the MGM.
Especially when it's just cash. Like,
right.
And it's because Daddy was a degenerate at 8:30 in the morning on a Thursday. Was it Thursday?
Thursday morning, yes, absolutely. And that's my concern, is that the authorities are going to be called, because I walk into the bank, and, you know, it was a sizable check or whatever, so I wasn't just going to throw it into the ATM. I had some other stuff I had to do, so I waited my turn like a pigeon.
Yeah.
And got up there and had a little stop and chat with the bank teller, and she asked me, like, do you cash a lot of checks from the United States? I said, no, actually, this one is from the MGM in Vegas. She said, oh, you win any bets? I said, yeah. And I said, I'm 3 wins away in the Western Conference Final from being right back here with another check, because I got the Sharks
on
a future.
That's right.
And then I'm thinking to myself,
Sharks for a Stanley Cup win?
No, just get to the Cup Final. I'm 3 wins away from cashing another future. So it was actually a very productive morning that Thursday at the MGM Sportsbook.
Dude, I was right with you, and I went up there to try to do mine, and they didn't take credit card, and I didn't go back with the cash.
Straight cash, homie.
Yeah,
straight cash.
What
was
your bet, though?
I had some good ones. I had Tiger at like 15-1.
You were betting Tiger at the Masters. You were riding that wave with me. Yes.
Okay.
I had 4 bets, 500 each, and I said, "Here's my card." And she goes, "Only cash here." I go, "I'll go to my room," and I never went back.
Yeah.
If you cashed 500 American at 15-1, you would have been making it rain, man. Yeah. Making it rain. 75 American. That's like 10 G's.
Yeah, it's 10
Canadian. So anyway, I'm telling her what I could be back for, and I'm like, she's probably looking at me like I'm the biggest degenerate loser. Like, I have a 2-week-old in the stroller. I'm cashing checks for the MGM.
She probably thought you go home and throw the kid in a playpen and just get online and gamble.
Exactly. Right, exactly. That was my concern.
If you would have dug into the stroller for your, like, wallet or pulled out some cash, like, from underneath the baby, that's what makes you a degenerate.
I literally tucked the checks into
the diaper, almost.
Basically, yeah. Because I didn't have pockets on me, and I didn't trust.
Right into the stroller.
Just tuck it right into the blanket that she was wrapped in. So.
But now she identifies you as a gambler. There's a gambler.
That's going to be my conversation when I show up.
So you're going to come in. She doesn't know that you're the host of Overdrive. She just goes, that's the guy who was in Vegas with a 2-week-old baby here cashing a check from MGM.
Cashing a winner. And I'm sure what she was thinking was, how many losers has this guy, you know, put put forth.
She's looking out the window to see if you get into a Dodge Dart.
Right.
A 1977 Dodge Dart that's all rusted out.
Or some
jacked up in
some grit grinder in an Adidas jumpsuit just tackles me and throws me in his trunk.
Exactly.
Imagine that scene.
How you get abducted because you didn't pay your bills. So, you know.
I go in there. I'm so like cocky. I'm like, I'll cash this one. Meanwhile, I'm getting abducted outside of the TD.
Right in the parking lot, there's like five guys with tracksuits waiting for that check to be cashed.
Yeah. Oh, there's Boris. He banks here, too. Apparently, he's also a bookie, and he's going to break that gentleman's kneecaps.
Exactly.
Because he didn't pay up.
Yeah, you've got to be. I mean, if you live in a neighborhood, it never hurts to kind of know some people around. You don't have to get overly friendly, but you certainly should show some respect to the people that are
wrong with being friendly.
Helping out.
Absolutely. I'm friendly. I'm cordial. I have a little stop and chat. I've just never been there enough to develop like a...
Yeah.
A relationship.
We all do it now online. Like everything's online.
Exactly.
You get your electric bill, you pay it online, and that's it. You move on.
Well, I read a piece this morning that this is available starting, I believe, today or very soon. Uber drivers or Uber riders in the States, and this has to come to Canada. There is going to be an option when you request an Uber on the app.
To grab food?
No. Request quiet. You can put it in. I want someone to pick me up, and I don't want to hear a word from you.
I think that's ignorant, man. And for me, of all, actually,
I think it's brilliant. I'm paying you for your service. I don't want to talk to you. I'm not in the mood. It's 5 in the morning. I'm going to the airport. I'm on no sleep. I have no interest in a stop and
chat.
So
it's an actual like part of the app, though.
Dude, it's just you. Like, what about a little? How's the weather? How's your day?
I don't talk to anybody. I get my hair cut. I don't say a word. If they want to spark a conversation, I'll get into it. But I am not someone who's going to initiate a conversation.
So when this comes to Canada, you will sign up for quiet.
Well, I'm a little bit concerned that no one's going to pick me up. Or how do you police it anyway?
Well, you're probably going to quiet. Your rating's going to go garbage.
Yeah.
Basically, no one's going to want to pick me up. They're going to think I'm a jackass. But
what
again,
if the Uber driver has the option too? I'm picking you up, but I want quiet.
Yeah.
Well, I think that should be a two-way service.
Yeah, of course.
Yeah, I guess so.
And that speaks to talking on the phone too, because I've a few times been in an Uber and said, "Do you mind? I've got to call my wife or call my mom or whatever." I always ask because the guy is going to have to listen in. And if you're talking on the phone the whole time, it's a bit rude. I try not to.
It's not ideal, but, again, I think sometimes you forget you're paying for the service.
Yes.
Like, you are paying them.
They're not buddies. It isn't a buddy picking you up.
No. And now, there's courtesy that comes with it. You shouldn't be rude or belligerent or anything. And listen, cabbies and Uber drivers, they can have some tough gigs where they pick up belligerent booze bags.
Exactly.
And it gets out of control, for sure. But I just think, why not? I mean, I think this is a groundbreaking maneuver where you can just say, quiet, please. Yeah. Or you can say, I'm open to chatting, or no preference.
No preference.
No preference.
Like, I'm going to check off quiet and grab 6 nugs and a QP with cheese.
I guess that's the next wave.
I used Uber today, actually, as...
Isn't that like, can't you tell your Uber driver, like, hey, grab me some food or whatever? Or,
well, we were in an Uber in Vegas.
I guess that's just Uber Eats.
Yeah.
Yeah, basically.
I used Uber Eats yesterday.
That was not an Uber in Vegas. That was a straight cabbie.
Was it a cab?
Yeah. I remember how... Like,
yeah, I guess it was.
Remember how fast he drove us from McDonald's to the...
Studio?
To the studio? He was choked about something.
Well,
and we offered him food.
Do we have that order?
Yeah, let's go back and find that, and we'll revisit the Vegas McDonald's drive-thru in the cab.
But this is when we're on the way, and we were talking like, hey, let's grab something good.
Yeah,
like,
just, we're going to,
sandwiches.
Exactly.
We had different ideas floating around. We saw the Golden Arches.
And that was it.
And we wheeled in there.
Nothing wrong with that, though.
It was a spectacular order.
And it was like a $75 order.
Yeah, it was hefty. It was a pretty penny in Vegas. We'll try to find that.
I don't mind the Uber Eats. I used it yesterday.
Oh, yeah?
And I used Uber today as a courier. I had to send some paperwork off to my accountant, and I didn't want to drive all the way downtown. So I just ordered an Uber and gave him the envelope and said, can you take it down there? I gave him a few extra bucks because you got to get out of the car and walk it up to the house or whatever they work out of.
Mm-hmm. So moments after we discussed our great ideas in Vegas to go to the studio and get healthy food, sandwiches, sushi. We saw the Golden Arches and did this.
With cheese.
Quarter pounder with cheese meal.
Coke.
With large fries as well?
With a Coke with that.
Okay.
Yeah, large fries. No, what do you want?
A quarter pounder with cheese, six nugs, barbecue sauce.
A quarter, and then another quarter pounder meal. With an additional six pack of McNuggets.
What's a quarter pounder combo?
Yeah, combo. Yeah, large fries.
Do you want anything? I'm fine, thank you.
Diet Coke. Yeah, Diet Coke with that.
Okay.
And then another, yeah, six pack McNuggets. And you guys good? And that's going to be it, please.
Okay, so have two tempeh chicken rice combo.
So that is the five-star cuisine capital of the world,
yeah.
Las Vegas, Nevada. And that's where we ended up. Aaron texting in. Great poll question. We might have to steal this from him. I guess we're not stealing it. He's offering it to us. He's texting it into the show. Worst place for someone imposing the stop and chat? In a taxi, getting your hair cut, getting a massage, or the guy beside you on the plane.
I think in our industry, you have to add in one more. I don't like leaving here and going to a restaurant and to stop and chat about how's the Leafs, what do you think of the Leafs, who's going to win the cup, because that's what we do for 3 hours every...
That's germane to us. Like, that's our world. This is real life. Everyone experiences haircuts, taxis, on a plane, getting a massage. I think it's a massage, personally.
Personally, for me,
you can't talk during a massage.
It's the guy beside
Bobby Kraft, chat.
Bobby Kraft had a stop and chat, potentially.
Yeah, the roasted turkey chat. Bobby Kraft and a turkey.
Yeah, but you probably have to.
Chitter chatter.
Yeah, he's probably negotiating. That's his chat.
Right.
For me, it's the plane. Because just because you're sitting next to somebody on the plane...
You're right.
You're not obliged to talk to them. And if you're wearing headphones, you got to take your headphones off to talk. There's times where I've had great conversations with people sitting beside me, and other times where, you know, you have nothing in common. You're just flying to wherever.
I think a veteran move is the earbuds, and you just point to the ears on the, like, whatever, and it's over.
Some people don't accept that, though. That's not a stop sign for them. They don't care.
But for the most part, I think the plain haircuts are, it's personal. You got to... Be like, hey, can you make sure it's short? You got to.
Well,
have
I mean, you want to make sure that you don't want to disappoint anyone or rattle cages.
No,
but sometimes you just want to sit there and relax and get your hair cut. It can be somewhat of a soothing experience, and I don't want to be jabbering away.
No,
personally,
I think you keep it cordial. They ask about your life, you ask about theirs, and that's
there
fine, you know. But I like the taxi. It depends, like. If you're in a chitty-chatty mood, fine, but for the most part...
Sometimes you're not in the mood.
A lot of times now I've noticed taxi drivers or Uber, they're on the phone. Like, they're conducting their business while we're doing ours. Like, you're in the back seat, you're on your phone guaranteed, scrolling through Twitter or writing emails or doing whatever, texting. It's not really... a conversation place now.
A lot of people texting in, worst stop and chat at the urinal.
Yeah, that's...
The urinal stop and chat. That should be... Yeah, you should be arrested for that. If you try to spark a conversation while you're at the urinal, it should be a citizen's arrest.
Well, I don't mind if, like, somebody says, hey, how you doing, or how's the game, if you're at a game or something, game looks good. But, like, there's no handshake. There's no
greasy handshake without a wash.
No, there's no transaction going down.
Can't happen.
At all.
Cannot happen. Zion Williamson is off to New Orleans after, well, we believe. He's not convinced. He doesn't want to believe it. And there's been a lot of comparisons between Zion and his reaction to the Pelicans.
McDavid face.
And McDavid.
But did he have, not that he has a choice, but are the Pelicans the worst case scenario that could have happened to?
No, I think he dodged the bullet because it would have been Memphis for me.
Right.
Like, Memphis is, it's a gritty city. It's got no profile. No profile in the NBA.
I kept thinking to myself, what is the worst case scenario for him? And Pelicans kind of came up.
It's close.
Near the bottom.
It's
but
real
it wasn't
close.
The bottom.
I think what must have been a bit of a troll job is there were four teams left.
Well,
LA and New York.
The two big dogs, and then all of a sudden Memphis and New Orleans are creeping in there.
Yeah. It's like you had to have been sitting there if you're Zion Williamson or R.J. Barrett, who will probably go 3 to the Knicks if the Knicks hold on to the pick. I think R.J. Barrett should be ecstatic with the way it played out.
Right.
Because even though James Dolan is what he is, you get to play at the Garden, the Knicks, potentially be a piece that can bring them back to life and everything. I think that's a challenge that R.J. Barrett will take on, and he should be really excited about that. But if you're sitting there, you're like, I could go to L.A., I could go to New York, or Memphis or New Orleans. Like, just polar opposites. And I know New Orleans is a city rich with culture and history and all that, but it's not New York or L.A.
I've only been to New Orleans once, and I didn't love... Like, it was nice to do the strip and that, but I don't... I shouldn't say that because I don't know anybody from there, but it just is a gritty area. Like, it's got a little bit... It's not like Vegas.
Like any big city, there's great areas, and then there's areas you don't go down the wrong alley because it's bad news.
But New Orleans had a lot of that. Like, it actually, to me, seemed like if you weren't on the strip...
Was that post-Katrina, though, you were there?
I'd like to check the date. No, I was there in 2000.
Okay, so was Katrina? Before. Katrina was in 06,
yeah,
I think,
yeah.
Or
I was there in 2000 and went for the All-Star break.
Yeah, listen, I've heard it, so I've never been there. Like, the French Quarter and everything and down the strip,
myself,
it's unbelievable.
We left a little early because I wasn't happy.
Got a bit carried away.
Scary stuff, yeah.
Well, I mean, it's a great party town, but you're not going to party all the time. Like, Zion Williamson isn't going to be down the strip bar hopping, and it's not going to happen.
When you think of Vegas, you think of the strip, but then how many people have told us, like, it's polar opposite off the strip?
Absolutely.
So you wonder if New Orleans is like that. Or it's polar opposite, but quite gritty. Like, when you think of Detroit, Detroit has some real nice areas in the suburbs, but downtown Detroit, there's some
grit.
It can
get,
there, right?
Absolutely. I mean, Buffalo is the same way. There's a lot of cities like that. No, I mean, it's similar in ways up in Canada, but the States is a different vibe.
Yeah.
But, it was, I mean, the draft lotteries are always a blast. There's always an element of entertainment and uncertainty and unpredictability. And that's what happened last night. And, you know, they're trying to get away from tanking in the NBA, and they adjusted the odds, so it's really difficult to expect yourself to win. Even if you bottom out like the Knicks did, the Bulls, they bottomed out. Well, and they dropped way down the draft board because they didn't win the lottery.
I said this to you off air. Is there any way that Zion could be like, I'm not going? Like, pull a Lindros and be like, I'm, you know, good luck with that. You can choose me, but I'm not showing up, or I'm... You know, I'll sit out until you guys trade me.
I guess it's a possibility. I don't sense that that's what's going to happen. I haven't picked up on anything from his camp that would suggest he'll do that.
Right.
But the Pelicans, you know, they've been a real disaster for a while. Anthony Davis still wants out. Like, that came out quickly. Right. There were reports last night. Oh, maybe he'll want to stick around. No, he's got no interest in that. Yeah. He still wants out. No one shows up. You know, bad attendance. There's no profile nationally. It's not a good scene for him, but...
He's a good enough player. Do you think he could help turn that around?
Potentially, yeah. I mean, I don't think he's not going to be a LeBron James. I don't think he's going to be a Kevin Durant.
Right.
I think he's just a freak athlete, a really good player. He's got a bit of a YouTube element to him because he jumps out of the gym and he does things that we've never seen before. But I don't know if it's going to translate to the NBA. We'll find out.
Right.
I mean, he's definitely going first overall, and he's a phenom, and everyone knows him, and there's star power. And
wasn't there talk about him being, there's a chance that, I don't know, it was flipping Davis and R.J. Barrett and him could end up together in New Orleans?
Yeah, that's still really kicking out there, that the Knicks are going to try to flip that third pick and more, clearly, to try to get Davis to New York. And then maybe you got Barrett and Zion down there in New Orleans, and that would be interesting at the very least. I mean, there would be profile that would come with that because they went to Duke together and they performed the way that they did. Jack Armstrong will join us just after 5 p.m. Game one tonight in Milwaukee. Big game tonight, so we're teeing that up. Raptors, Bucks, game one. Jack will join us. Jerry's percentage is coming up. Nota Begay will join us in about 10 minutes.
Nice.
John Daly responding to Tiger Woods.
Remember how Nota Begay used to putt? He used to have like this mallet or this little bullseye putter, and he would putt left-handed for left to right breaking putts and putt right-handed.
Really?
You don't even remember?
I don't remember
can
that.
You ask,
no.
Would you ask him about it or no?
Yeah, we can ask him. He used to putt left and right-handed on the greens.
That's pretty impressive.
Yeah, I'd never seen another guy do it.
Was he any good?
Nota Begay?
Yeah, he was a good player, but like putting? Or like, was he?
Yeah, of course.
It's like a switch hitter.
Yeah, like.
Yeah, I guess if you can pull it off, why not?
Impressive.
So he'll join us in about 10 minutes. And Vladdy Guerrero Jr. went off last night at AT&T out in San Fran. We'll touch on that as well. Overdrive continues TSN 1050 and on the TSN app. All right, Jack Armstrong will join us just after 5 from Milwaukee ahead of Game 1 tonight. Bucks wraps. And Jerry's percentages in about an hour. Buffalo Sabres have a new head coach, Ralph Krueger, who has not been in the hockey world for 6 years. He's been a soccer guy over in Europe.
Hired over Skype.
Just hired. Signs for cake, too, like cash.
Yeah, looks like 3.5, it sounds like.
I got to be honest. Like, I don't know what this guy's schedule is, but I don't think it's a good look that he wasn't there for the...
Well, he's coaching Slovakia, isn't he?
I don't know.
Yeah, he is.
Okay, well, get the hell out of there and come back.
I know.
Like,
but he's coaching.
Or why wouldn't you wait until afterwards? Like, you've got an introductory press conference, and the coach isn't there.
He's on a conference call.
Well, but that's GM's what I said. And over there.
No, Botterill came home, is my understanding. He was back in Buffalo.
That's my point.
Are you sure?
I thought I read that Botterill was like, I got to get back to Buffalo. Like, the media is going to be, like, are you insane? You think this is a massive announcement.
Then why not announce it when Slovakia's out?
Exactly. And be like, Ralph, we need you.
Yeah.
And like
that. But I just thought it was ironic. Like, he actually was on a conference call. He got hired. He got fired by Skype.
Right.
In Edmonton, he got hired by Skype today.
Last time he was in the NHL, this guy got fired by Craig McTavish over Skype because he was in Europe. Yeah, and now he's been introduced to the Buffalo media.
While he's in Europe.
While he's in Europe, basically over Skype. So, like, it was a conference call, but...
Yes, Tim Vogel and all these guys that are scribes in Buffalo are talking to him over Skype or over the phone.
It's a weird look.
It is a
like
weird
if you've,
look.
If you've connected on a deal and you get the deal done, you keep it in-house and you say, you know, in 2 weeks when he's back or whatever.
Yeah, I mean...
Now, they might still do that. He might still in a few weeks fly to Buffalo and they'll do this again. But the cat is out of the bag now. He's been introduced and he's the head coach.
Good on him. Good on them. I mean, I don't... If he's that progressive, like, he sounds like a very unique person. You know, he left the NHL or got fired in the NHL, but he took over a soccer federation and he still has been a coach on the world stage. Like, it sounds like he's kind of like the... What is that? The Dos Equis?
The Dos Equis?
Dos Equis.
Dos Equis.
He's the Dos Equis.
The Dos Equis, most interesting man in the world.
Sounds like he is. What's the proper pronunciation?
Dos Equis.
Dos Equis.
Does that guy still do those? I haven't seen him.
He's done.
I think he's done, yeah. But it sounds like he's like that.
Ralph Krueger?
Yeah, a unique guy. Listen, they need to think outside the box there. They've got to get going in Buffalo. They've got some pieces, but they got to get a lot better. And... Yeah, well, I don't know if Kruger's the guy to get you to the next
I don't level. Know if he is. And like you said, they're paying him a lot of money. It's like reportedly like $4 million a year.
Yeah, just under. I thought it said $11.5 for 3 years.
Yeah, which so I don't care. It's not my money.
$3.75 or $3.
The Pagulas have a lot of money, but.
Those Pagulas like to hire and fire people, don't they? They're good at that.
Very good.
They are good at that.
Very good.
Now, if it works out, great. If it doesn't, like, I was trying to think if he was a guy that. Was a front runner. I know there were whispers in Edmonton, but I don't see Ken Holland. I don't see him as a Ken Holland guy.
He's already been there too,
right?
Like he got fired. Now maybe unjustly, he was there for like a half a season and they got rid of him.
Well, and new management, all that. Like I think Ken Holland is going to go with somebody who has pedigree, like a veteran guy. I know everyone's talking about Dave Tippett. Tippett's systems are good. He's a Ken Hitchcock type of coach, but not with the negativity. Like he's a positive guy, a likable guy, an affable guy who has very tight systems. So that's maybe what that organization needs because they've been a defensive tire fire for years. So, but that, you know, go back to Buffalo. Proof will be in the pudding. We'll see at Christmas if he can turn that around. They've got a little tighter team because, you know, Phil Housley was a guy that it just wasn't a fit.
No, it was a mess, quite frankly, it was a mess.
Quite unfortunately, he was one of the best players who ever played for Buffalo.
Right. Yeah, legend in Buffalo.
And a really good assistant coach in Nashville.
But it got away from him.
It just
badly.
Didn't translate very well.
Yeah, the second half was ugly. Like, they were turning... Everyone was turning on him.
Yeah.
Everybody. Like, it was... Basically, Phil has
popcorn
got to go.
Vendors. The peanut gallery.
Peanut gallery had had enough of Phil Housley.
Yeah.
So, it's not only the Pagulas. Like, the marketplace, I don't think they've got a lot of patience, and I don't blame them because... the Sabres have not had any success in a long time.
Yeah,
and you know, the Bills haven't really either. Like, I get it. If you're in Buffalo, if you're a sports fan down there, you're waiting for something to break your way.
Mm-hmm.
So
maybe he's a guy. Who knows?
We'll see. Shout out to Ralph Krueger.
Yeah. We'll dial
mailing
him up
in his
Skype.
Own introductory press conference.
We'll dial him up on Skype.
Yeah, we'll try to get him on Skype. He probably hates Skype. He's got to have a real issue with Skype, I would think.
I don't know. It sounds like this guy is heavily sought after, though. Like, how do you just go from
running
being in the NHL
team
to running a soccer
team? Gotta have him.
Gotta have him.
Like, gotta have
Must.
Him. He's the guy.
All leverage.
Yeah.
Golf analyst Nota Begay, Golf Channel analyst Nota Begay is on site down at Bethpage Black for the PGA Championship this week. Golf Channel's live from the PGA Championship news coverage continues throughout the week prior to and immediately following live tournament coverage Thursday through Sunday. Let's head down to Long Island now. Here is a former member of the tour and golf analyst for the Golf Channel, Nota Begay. How you doing, Nota?
I'm doing great. How's everybody this afternoon?
We're doing very well. I saw John Daly responded to Tiger Woods today. He didn't take it as a joke. Like, we were trying to interpret whether or not Tiger was goofing on him.
Well, they are, but they're buddies.
No, I know. And for those of you that aren't familiar, Tiger was asked about John Daly having access to a cart this weekend, and Tiger said, "Well, I played a major with a broken leg." And Daly came back today, and he kind of said, "Well, Tiger doesn't have all the facts, and I wish I could get this fixed, but I can't." Anyway, how do you feel about this, John Daly riding a cart at Bethpage?
I just don't feel like there's a place for it in these sorts of championships. I just don't think they should back the rules off because somebody has a condition that was developed just through old age and lack of exercise. And,
Well, isn't that the thing,
you know,
of it, Nota? Like, I mean,
he's a lifestyle that's been really hard on his body, and I just don't think it's fair to the other players. I think it sets a bad precedent, and I just don't think you'd see something like this in other professional sports. And I think it sort of sets a bad standard for us.
Like, that's the thing about Daly. It's, you see pictures of him, and all he's doing is drinking beer and smoking cigarettes at different events, and then all of a sudden, he's the guy of all people that's looking for the cart. Like, it's just...
Right, and, you know, certainly don't judge or tell anybody how to live their own lives, but, you know, there's consequences for, you know, certain choices that we make, and if you don't take care of your body and stay healthy, you know, it starts to move in the other direction, and we all know that as we get older in age, and golf's not particularly good on the body. Tiger's shown that, 4 knee surgeries, 4 back surgeries. You know, John's obviously struggling with a variety of things. I just, regardless of what the circumstances are, I just don't think it's a great thing as far as the PGA of America is concerned and as far as championship level golf is concerned.
Is there, we were joking last week, but I'll ask you this question. Is there anything that could go wrong with him driving this cart during the tournament? Like, you know, it's the course isn't built for carts, so could you see something, maybe an incident where he's driving by fans or something? Like, something goofy? Could that happen?
Well, that's always a concern. I mean, I do our live broadcast for NBC Sports, so like the Players Championship or the Ryder Cup or big events like that. If I'm not walking or I get switched from one group to the next, I've got to ride a cart. So I have a driver that's on standby that sort of just shadows me along the way throughout the broadcast. And on occasion, when we are trying to make our way through the gallery, I mean, there's a lot of times where the spectators just aren't aware of you. And we have drivers that go through a training process and trying to understand just how to navigate the spectators and basically always approach them like you think that they can't see you, just so that there aren't any mistakes. So, you know, there is some exposure there. I mean, John's been obviously driving a golf cart probably his entire life. So, but you just can never predict what's going to happen, especially when there's thousands of people around and throw a little bit of alcohol in there and the atmosphere of the PGA Championship, and you just never know.
Nota, what do you think Brooks Koepka's comments, how did they resonate through the driving range or amongst the players yesterday? Pretty strong comments for a guy who I know he's a you know, confident golfer and a very talented golfer, but those comments were they were kind of out of left field, and the players must have had some response to that.
The comments related to the majors being the easiest tournaments to win.
Oh yeah, and half the field are just losers that he's definitely going to beat.
Yeah, I mean, I don't know that he to that extent, but I mean, if mathematically you want to break it down, it's a fairly accurate assessment. I mean, to be quite fair, from an analyst standpoint, I mean, if you look at the number of players in the field, you take off the 20 club professionals, so that's reduced by 20 players. Half of those guys aren't playing very well, and then half of the remaining players, which is about, you know, 40 to 50 players, aren't going to respond to the conditions of the golf course or the pressure of the situation. So Brooks is obviously has 15 to 25 players to beat. And I think as hard as that is for a lot of players to hear, you know, these are the best players in the world. None of them want to think that they don't have a chance to win, and you have to give them that because they wouldn't be here if they didn't have that self-belief. But when you start to pencil in all the performance statistics and the fact that certain players, you know, the last player that was not in the top 50 ranked players in the world to win the PGA, you have to go back to Keegan Bradley. So it's an event that the cream rises to the top, and that was 8 years ago. So it's as hard as it is to hear, it's a fairly accurate statement. Now, the Masters, on the other hand, is even easier to win because you have to cut that figure in half. There's only about 10 or 15 players that can win that tournament every year. So it is what it is. I agree with Brooke.
With Noda Begay from the Golf Channel, he's live at Bethpage Black throughout the weekend for the PGA Championship. Speaking of the Masters, obviously everyone knows who won it, Tiger Woods, and he hasn't played since he walked off the 18th green at Augusta. By all accounts, he feels good, he looks good. You know him well, you've known him for a long time. You know, Tiger 15 years ago wins the Masters and immediately just believes he's going to win the next major. But this is not the same Tiger from 15 years ago. Do you get the impression like he's content with the Masters win, and now he's going into this thinking, hey, I'm playing with house money? Or do you believe he's back to being greedy and feeling like he can win every major?
I think he has a tremendous amount of confidence in his ability to go out and win. I wouldn't necessarily say it's greedy. I think it's just understanding what his current thresholds are. I know that sitting on his couch in his house 2 years ago wondering whether he was ever going to play competitive golf again, one of the things that he knew was going to be a requirement as he moved forward was the fact that he had to figure out new ways to win. And part of that calculation and that formula is figuring out new and more effective ways to prepare. And we're seeing the less is more strategy right now, in the sense of no competitive rounds since he walked off the 18th green in the 72nd hole at the Masters. And he only played 9 holes this week because he didn't play any practice today, and I don't think he played any yesterday. But from what I've seen him in terms of, we watched him for about 45 minutes on the range yesterday, everything looks in order. So it's just a matter of, okay, is this calculation going to pay off for him, and the conservation of energy going to pay off for him this week?
Should be a fun weekend. Enjoy it down there. Thank you for doing this, Noda.
My pleasure, guys. Thanks for having me.
There's Noda Begay from the Golf Channel, and this Golf Insider is brought to you by your Ontario Subaru dealers. Spring for Subaru with symmetrical full-time all-wheel drive. Visit your local Ontario Subaru dealer for great rates on 2019 models. Pretty choice words, man. Pretty straight and narrow with Daly.
Did Mulls clip that? Because I thought it was fantastic. He was just saying,
this is a joke.
Yeah, you want to live like that?
Well, you're talking about guys that every time they play a round of golf on tour, they have had to walk, and everyone else is walking, and all of a sudden this guy...
Well, how far off is Affie Barnrod from requesting a cart?
He never will. It's just it's what goes along with John Daly. I mean, this guy is a legendary boozer, and it's just the craziness. And then all of a sudden, he says he has arthritis in his knees.
Well, what's a more interesting outcome? Not that it will ever happen, But John Daly winning the tournament or Tiger Woods?
Everyone wants Tiger Woods to win.
I want John Daly in every day. This weekend, absolutely. If he wins this tournament in a cart, it immediately makes Tiger winning the Masters the second biggest golf story of the year.
So you think Tiger winning the first two legs of the majors is not John Daly in the cart?
Absolutely. John Daly in a cart at, what is he, 53 years old? He hasn't sniffed a cut in how many years? If he drives his way to a major tournament, that's the biggest story of golf.
But here's a question for you. Is he that important that they can't go, you either walk or you can't play?
He was already declined the U.S. senior, like he was declined the cart in the U.S. Open senior version. He wanted it and they said, no way.
Yeah, so I don't.
Or the last major for the seniors, he asked for the cart. He said no. They said no.
This is precedence now. Now he's not going to play again until he gets a cart. Like if you have arthritis, it's only going to get worse as he gets older. And I know he's claiming he's lost some weight, but I would just assume like he's going to try to ride a cart every time he can. Yeah. I don't know why this time they allowed it, but
I have no idea either. Anyway. I'm actually shocked they did.
Yeah, I am a little bit as well. Jack Armstrong in about 25 minutes. Jerry's percentages at 5:30. All right, so we're going to touch on Vladdy Guerrero Jr. here in a moment. This is Overdrive on TSN Radio in Toronto. We're up on TSN 4 now. Always willing to accept feedback from the listeners out there. And if you want to maybe supply content, we're up for that as well. And this is one that is quite interesting.
Really?
It is Jerry's afternoon at 5:30. Jerry's will be taking place right here on Overdrive. But Quinn sent this email in, live at tsn1050.ca. To the boys on Overdrive, I was just thinking of a Jerry's example that maybe you guys could throw around. What's the Jerry's that DeMar DeRozan was sitting on his couch watching Game 7, hoping Kawhi was going to miss the shot and that the Raptors would lose the game?
100%. As a former athlete, you don't want to see your...
I watched my team win the Stanley Cup the year after I left. They were garbage for years. And one of the broadcasters in Carolina said, they got rid of Jeff O'Neill and they signed a bunch of guys that are more... I was going crazy.
Then so they said Stanley that? Cup. One of the broadcasters said that? That's disappointing.
It wasn't John Forslund, was it?
No. It was his partner.
We're going to have him on at 5:30
He's coming on. He is. He will get him on. Although he's not going to be working much longer for Carolina. They're done now. 3-0. It's over.
Yeah.
I was 100%.
Yeah, I think it's probably 100%.
Because you're like, I was there and we choked and we couldn't do it. Now all of a sudden I leave.
Well, that would have been his shot. Like, if he was on the team, the call would have been, get it to DeMar and see if he can hit the shot.
How do you know it would have been his shot? They might not even been in the second round if he's still here.
They might not have been, but assuming he was, maybe they'd give it to Kyle.
DeMar DeRozan, they don't get by Philly. Any basketball insider, anybody.
I totally agree with you.
They would not have gotten by Philly.
They barely got through, and Kawhi put forth a masterpiece.
Yes.
A masterpiece of a seven-game series, and they barely got through.
They wouldn't have got by Philly, and I think Orlando would have made it more interesting without Kawhi.
Yeah, that would have gone 7 against Orlando, I think. I think you're right.
And that's just what they've done in the past.
Well, and that's what needs to change starting tonight. It can't just be Kawhi. It can't be Kawhi and a bunch of guys.
We'll ask Jack. We got Jack on, don't we?
Yeah, Jack's coming up in 15 minutes.
We don't want to kind of bash DeMar, but if he's on this roster still, are they getting by the 76ers?
Yeah, I doubt it.
I don't think so. Yeah, I don't think so. Because he can't supply what Kawhi supplied.
No.
I don't want to say 100%. I think 80% he wanted them to lose. Like, he's still very close with Kyle. And he wants to see his friends have success. I got traded from the Flames to the Rangers at the deadline in 04, and I watched the Flames go to the finals. Did I want Jerome McGinley to win a cup? Yeah. Even if I wasn't still on that team. I did want to see Mika Kiprusoff have success. The guys that I knew and loved and partied with and hung out with, they're still my lifelong friends. But there was a layer to me, I'm like, man, I didn't think that team was going to go that far. And all of a sudden, you're watching that team in the final. Game 6.
Right.
Marty Jelena, that could have been a goal. Yeah.
That was in.
I think it was in, too.
I think it was in. I always believed it was in.
Anyways, like, I wanted those guys to have success. So I don't think it's 100% that DeMar sitting there.
Well, I think you're watching. Right. I think for Kyle It's 0%. He wants Kyle to succeed. For Masai, it's 1,000%.
He wants to crawl through the TV and smack it.
And I've
that's what he wants.
I've always been curious to find out how guys feel about, you know, their counterparts in the trade.
Right.
Like, he shouldn't have anything personal against Kawhi.
Nothing.
Kawhi didn't pull the trigger on the trade.
Nothing.
But do you want to see the guy who replaced you have the ultimate success? I mean, I would think that would burn you a little bit. Because DeMar was beloved here in Toronto. But the fact is, he never reached the plateau that Kawhi is currently at, just based on his play and the fascination that surrounds Kawhi Leonard and how everyone just immediately, like, there's no disputing it. This is the best basketball a Raptor has ever played.
We even
better
said
than Vince, Bosch, Stoudemire, T-Mac, everybody. No one's played like this.
Monday we said it. Like, nobody is questioning that trade anymore.
It's over.
Nobody.
Mic drop, done. Except for maybe DeMar. Like, DeMar might still have the confidence that he could get it done in Toronto.
You think he's going to look at those stats and what he's compared to and say, I could have done that?
Well, he couldn't get San Antonio through the first round.
Right.
So,
it just, I think he's probably looking at Kawhi and he's looking at Masai and going, yeah, I don't want them to have success because one guy got traded for and the other guy traded me.
Mm-hmm.
But I think he wants his former teammates and organization in the city to have success. I don't think he's that petty.
I hope not.
I personally.
Or that jaded.
He doesn't come off like that.
No, I don't think so. I think he took him a while to understand the business, but now he understands that that's what it is.
Yeah.
Well, how'd you feel about your boy, Justin Williams? I wouldn't say he lost his mind in the first period.
He was on tilt. He was like, he wanted so hard to lead and be the energy guy and make sure that he was. And he was out of control.
Well, they called a tight game, too. Wasn't there 10 penalties? Like, there was a lot of penalty.
And he was out of control, and the three penalties in the first period is unacceptable. But usually a guy with his status and the captain, they kind of turn the other way.
Yeah, they give him a little bit. Like, I thought.
Like, the holding the stick, it's like, I never saw that.
I thought he would have gotten a little bit of leeway, too. Like, people were making a big deal of him popping Backus in the back of the head. Because they were like, if that was Marchand, you know that would be front and center.
Yeah.
We're running with it. Everyone's running with it. He got a freebie. Now, Backus went up and went after him, but he couldn't get to him. But, you know, it was a little bit of a pop, and it was to the back of the head, and the cameras caught it.
And he was defenseless. He was lying on the ice. Backus was
fallen
on the ice.
You know, it was. Listen, it's playoff hockey, but if I said that about Brad Marchand's punch to Harrington, that was bloody murder.
Yep.
But,
double standard for sure. Now, sometimes
Williams
it's warranted.
Likeable. Yeah.
Yeah, I mean, Williams is not a dirty player. He may have been playing dirty last night. Marchand has a different history.
Exactly.
But in a bubble, you look at them, there are definitely similarities.
Same similarity, exactly.
Yep, absolutely. All right, Jack coming up from Milwaukee. We'll start teeing up game one with him. Jerry's percentages at 5:30. Overdrive continues TSN 1050 and on TSN 4.